A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 171. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about ghost stories for Christmas. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
There were a series of ghost stories broadcast under the A Ghost Story for Christmas title in the 1970s, broadcasting one each year. And a number of them were based on stories written by M.R. James, who, of course, wrote quite a number of English ghost stories.
That's right.
Today, we'll be talking about the ghost stories that were not M.R. James adaptations that they did in the 1970s for A Ghost Story for Christmas.
That's right. Here we are returning to this theme of ghost stories for Christmas. We're on the BBC, and in particular, we're looking at three stories. That's The Signalman from 1976, a 39-minute broadcast. Then from the following year, Stigma, which was a shorter one at 32 minutes. And then from 1978, the final one, The Ice House, which ran at about 34 minutes.
That's right. So A Ghost Story for Christmas broadcast 8 different stories from 1971 to 1978. And all of those were produced by Lawrence Gordon Clark and Rosemary Hill. And most of them were directed by Lawrence Gordon Clark, except for one of them.
Yeah, The Ice House, which was the last of the series, and the one we'll get to in our next episode, that was actually directed by Derek Lister. But as you say, the rest of them very much have got Lawrence Gordon Clark's stamp all over them. And he'd started, as you say, Brian, by adapting M.R. James stories. But by the time he got to 1976, he felt that I think he'd done all the M.R. James stories that were suitable for television or that he could manage within their budget. And so he was looking to use some different authors. And when we're talking about these Christmas ghost stories, we sort of hearken back to an earlier broadcast all the way back to 1968. And that's, of course, Jonathan Miller's famous omnibus production of Whistle and I'll Come to You, which we covered along with a couple of other M.R. James ghost stories back in British Invaders 57 and 58, when we were just looking, I think, at M.R. James stories, Brian.
That's right. That version of Whistle and I'll Come to You, 68, was in black and white. Most of these others that we're talking about from the 70s, of course, were in color. And after adapting these 5 M.R. James stories, Clark decided that, yes, they could continue looking at these ghost stories and adapting ghost stories, but they wanted to look at different authors. And what they found looking for different stories, different authors, was The Signalman. This was broadcast December 22nd, 1976, and it is an adaptation of the short story by Charles Dickens. The short story was originally published in Dickens' All the Year Round magazine in 1866, was part of a collection of railway-themed stories by different authors that was called Mugby Junction.
Yeah, and Charles Dickens, I mean, if we're going to talk about Christmas ghost stories, we have to at some point get to Charles Dickens, because I think Dickens and M.R. James are probably the authors most associated with that genre of spooky stuff for the season. And it's an interesting story because, one little side note, you may remember from New Doctor Who in The Unquiet Dead, the 3rd episode, the 9th Doctor tells Charles Dickens that this was his favourite story, The Signalman. So a little connection there for us, Brian.
Yes, that's right. And of course, between Charles Dickens and M.R. James, I think they went a long ways to sort of define and establish that real tradition of English ghost stories.
Okay, so we've got Lawrence Gordon Clark directing. We've got him handing the story to Andrew Davis to adapt it for the screen quite early on, I think, in Andrew Davis's career, because later on he'd become very well known for his TV productions. He did a series called A Very Peculiar Practice, which starred Peter Davison, the Fifth Doctor. But he went on to do much, much more after that.
Yes, he's quite well known for adapting House of Cards and also the BBC adaptations of classics, things like Pride and Prejudice. But his adaptation of House of Cards, his work adapting it, is looked at very highly and has been referred to and referenced in lots of things, and with the remake of House of Cards and the original author and so on, the work that Andrew Davies did is looked upon quite highly there. His work adapting The Signalman for this short, you know, 39-minute show is quite interesting because it is so faithful to the original and uses a lot of Charles Dickens' dialogue, and we'll get to that a little more as we go. So Denham Elliot played the signalman himself, who seems haunted by the possibility of a terrible accident on the stretch of railway that he oversees, that he supervises there. There's a tunnel there, and it's sort of in this gorge, so it's seen as this somewhat spooky but also rather realistically dangerous kind of place with this railway. And he is telling his story to a traveler who comes through. The traveler is played by Bernard Lloyd.
Yeah, and it's just these two characters and their encounters in the signalman's box where he sort of supervises the railway line, where he sits and works, and the story he tells. And it's all rather marvellously done. As you say, Brian, we've got Denham Elliott, a sort of very well-known character actor. And we know from watching Lawrence Gordon Clark's introduction to this program on the DVDs we've been looking at, that they didn't have Denham Elliott for very long, and that actually possibly that he wasn't quite familiar with his lines gave his performance a slightly sort of edgy feel, or maybe it was just Elliott himself, but he pulls it off quite marvellously.
He does pull it off very well, and even at that time he was a very well-known actor and was doing film work and all sorts of things, so it was very strong to have him involved in there. And yeah, it's mostly a two-hander with these two actors delivering this sort of very 19th century Dickensian dialogue. And along with those scenes in the signalman's little office space there, they also have a number of scenes that are out on the railway itself, and that, you know, right on the line, and that was quite neat as well.
Yes, because they'd found this perfect location of this gorge and a tunnel on the Severn Valley Railway, and it just, you know, it fits perfectly. And as you say, we've got Andrew Davies using Dickens' own dialogue, and all giving quite a memorable show, The Signalman, for this Christmas 1976.
Yes, absolutely.
An accident on this stretch of the line must be a terrible thing. In the tunnel, say.
A tunnel collision is the worst to be feared. Your nightmares would go hard to equal it. The wreckage becomes hideously compressed in the confined space. If fire breaks out, the tunnel and its ventilating shafts become furnace flues. You cannot see in the dark to get the wreckage and the bodies out. The screams of the injured and dying echo in a most persistent way. It's the shape of the tunnel, you see, sir.
But you can only do your duty.
Oh, yes, sir.
And you have all this? This place of peace.
Okay, so in 1977, we have a show called Stigma. This was broadcast on December the 28th. And Lawrence Gordon Clark this time couldn't find, again, he couldn't find a James story, he couldn't find a Dickens story. So he decided to tell a more modern, up-to-date ghost story. And he turned to a screenwriter, Clive Exton, who we know because he worked on the movie of Doomwatch, and he also wrote for Survivors. And he would go on to adapt Cast in the Runes for a 1979 broadcast that we talked about last time we got to Ghost Stories for Christmas. But actually, I suppose Clive Exton, probably better known to the television viewing audience for his work on Poirot and Jeeves and Wooster.
Ah, yes. Strong adaptation work there as well, of course. And part of what was going on with this was that there was a suggestion coming down to Lawrence Gordon Clark that really they should look at a modern ghost story after doing these sort of period pieces for several years in a row. They'd been doing the M.R. James and Charles Dickens period pieces, so was time to look at something in a modern setting. So what they had was Peter Bowles and Kate Binchy playing a middle-class couple who are doing some work on a country cottage, you know, having things cleaned up in the yard around it and so on. And they filmed this right near Avebury at the Stone Circle. This is the stone circle that goes around the village of Avebury. The village is in the middle. This, of course, is what was featured in Children of the Stones. And here they're more outside the stones, but the stones are these huge standing stones are visible for a number of moments in the show, which is quite interesting and quite impressive. And what they find appears to be one of these stones laying on its side in their garden. And they need to get that out of the way so it doesn't ruin the garden and the lawn.
Yeah, as you say, we've got this perfect location, the stone circle of Avebury, which we know is creepy anyway because of, you know, watching Children of the Stones. And as you say, here's this enormous stone lying on its side in their back garden. And because they want to do the place up, they want to move the stone so he can have a nice lawn. So some workmen with an enormous digger are raising the stone. And as always with a ghost story, when we discover or when we sort of disturb something from the past, something unpleasant is released, it seems. And as a result, the wife, Catherine, played by Kate Binchy, starts to behave... strange things start to happen to her, and she starts to behave in a strange way, I think, Brian.
Yes, she seems sort of drained and out of sorts. Yes, she certainly has things that happen to her, and it is actually quite grim. It was very well done, but it's a little more grim and sort of more graphic and, you know, more familiar in this modern setting than we have for most of these ghost stories.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is, it's a short story. As we say, it's only just over 30 minutes. So I think it's one of the shortest Christmas ghost stories. But it is quite sort of bloody, shall we say. There's much more sort of blood than you'd see in a normal Christmas ghost story. And we should point out as well that there is some nudity, so it is quite a modern piece, and some grim and gritty and unpleasant stuff happens.
Yes, absolutely. I think all of these are for adults and not for children, but definitely you have some of that more adult content being done in a different way in this one.
Hello. Hello, Peter. I was in the garden. No. I'm fine. We'll see you about 8, then. No. Nothing. I'm fine.
Okay. So that's the first two stories, The Signalman and Stigma. We've talked about production notes as we've gone along, I suppose, with Lawrence Gordon Clark directing. We should get to talk a little bit about the availability of these stories. Over the years, some of them had been released on the British Film Institute, BFI, DVDs. But as is usually the case with the BFI DVDs, they don't stay in print very long. But in 2012... we got this rather nice box set of five DVDs, and that contained all of the eight original Christmas Ghost Stories, including the three that we're talking about in these episodes. Plus on there, you've got the 1968 Whistle and I'll Come to You, that black and white Jonathan Miller film that he produced for the arts show Omnibus. And we've also got a remake of that one, or shall we say a reimagination of Whistle and I'll Come to You, that was broadcast at Christmas 2010. And that one quite notably starred John Hurt. And it was a different take on the original story, Brian.
And they included some of Christopher Lee's readings of the M.R. James stories as well, which had a little bit of sort of film dramatic content, but were basically Christopher Lee sitting on screen in the role of M.R. James telling these stories. They included three of the four of those that were broadcast, and they were very good, of course, with Christopher Lee.
And as well, we've got more on this box set, because the BBC came back to the idea of ghost stories for Christmas in 2005 and 2006, where they produced two more M.R. James stories, A View from a Hill and Number 13. And so again, they're on this rather large and impressive box set.
Yes, that's right. Those were from BBC Four, and they were like a little revival of Ghost Story for Christmas that lasted for a couple of years there. Nice stuff. And now, rather than this five-disc box set, in 2013, a six-disc version was released that includes those five discs, and the extra disc includes five readings that are partly dramatized as well, from Robert Powell from 1986, and then another three ghost story readings from Michael Bryant from 1980. So it pulls in some of those things and adds in some additional extras. There are extras already on the five-disc version. Well, they added some more. And also, in addition to this six-disc version, you can get a number of the discs or pairs of discs as smaller sets as well. If you only want to get part of that, or if you have the five-disc version, you can get that sixth disc on its own as well.
Okay. As we've said, as we've gone along, there's several extras on this box set. In particular, you'll get introductions to the shows by Lawrence Gordon Clark.
Those are quite good.
They are quite good, although it does warn you in advance that they do contain some spoilers, so you may want to watch those after you've seen the ghost stories. There's some comprehensive viewing notes booklets with pieces about the various stories. It's quite an impressive set. Slightly puzzling as to why they replaced the five-disc set so quickly with a six-disc set a year later. Maybe they forgot to put out those dramatized readings originally, or maybe there were some rights issues. I don't really know. However, you can, if you bought the five-disc box set originally, you can buy that single extra disc with the Robert Powell and Michael Bryant stories separately.
I may need to get that.
Yes, absolutely. We may need to pick that up. So let's talk about prices. Here in Region 2, we've got this comprehensive six-DVD box set, £42 currently on Amazon. If you'd already gone in and bought the five-disc set the year before, like myself and Brian, then you can get the extra disc for £12. Currently not on the rental site, so not on Netflix, Love Film or iTunes that I can see. Just this BFI, rather splendid box set. So that's the situation here in Region 2.
Yes, that box set is very nice. It has a lot on it. There is unfortunately no Region 1 release. The UK version that we were talking about shows up on the Amazon.com marketplace for $60. You'll need to be able to play import Region 2 discs, but it is available that way. Or, of course, you can import it from the UK yourself.
Okay. And if you know anything more about the extra disc and why there was the delay in adding that to the collection, perhaps you'd let us know on the Facebook group.
Absolutely. But it's nice to see that the BFI discs are still quite easily available, because sometimes those do go out of print. So it's nice to see them keeping it up and having all of those available.
Yes, it is. It's very nice to be able to get them all. And as we say, there's lots of stories on here. It will keep you happy at Christmas time for many a year to come. One other puzzle, I suppose, is that there is, we think, one Christopher Lee Reed in missing, and we're not quite sure where that's got to either.
Yes, there were four, and three are included on this set. The fourth, I don't think, has been released. So next time, we will discuss the third story in our little grouping here, The Ice House.
That's right. Another modern story from 1978. We'll get to that. And we'll talk a little bit more about the great tradition of Christmas ghost stories on television. We'll touch on a few other dates and stories and where these ones sort of fit in. And we'll be doing reviews and recommendation and telling you what we think of these three stories and of the DVD set in general.
Yes, absolutely. There is lots to talk about there. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. We are part of the Geek Culture Network, so you can go to TheGeekCultureNetwork.com and find us and some other podcasts as well. And, of course, we have a Facebook group. If you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us, and lots of fun discussion that we're involved with and a number of our listeners are involved with as well.
You'll also find us at vognetwork.com. That's the Voice of Geeks streaming internet radio. We're one of several podcasts that go out on their network. We go out normally on a Monday and a Tuesday, but you can find lots of geek-related content there as well. And as ever, if you're listening on Vogue Network, do come and join us on the Facebook group and let us know.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed, and until next time, it's Eamon in England also signing off.